The message Grace is brought to you by Present Truth Ministries, a ministry which believes the Bible to be the Word of God and appreciates its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there's a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you joined us today for another interesting look as Brother Leon Anderson, President and Founder of Present Truth Ministries, shows another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join him now.
Welcome, beloved, to the message of grace, brought to you by Present Truth Ministries of Detroit, Michigan, a ministry that was conceived solely for the purpose of bringing to you right here in Detroit the gospel of the grace of God and the Word rightly divided. I'm Brother Leon Anderson, and you know, beloved, there's a lot of confusion in the church world today. But the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, for He has given unto us the answer to confusion right here in His Word, explained in the epistles of Paul, referred to by the Apostle Paul as the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And beloved, I might add that this is not the same message that was presented to the 12 disciples for the nation Israel in time past. I'd like to at this time present to you a message, a tape from our collection of videos that will help you to learn the difference between God's program for the nation Israel versus His program for us Gentiles living in this dispensation of grace. I'd like to present that to you at this time.
The problem is the Bible sets a standard. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now that's the declaration of the Bible. All have sinned. You and me and everybody else. Everyone we're related to. We're sinners. We fail. We understand that. We know that. Therefore, we know that when it's our effort, it's always going to come short. But what God does is He provides for us what we couldn't provide for ourselves. He does for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and paid for our sin debt, paid for all the things that are wrong with us, and God raised Him the third day so He could be the author of eternal life to everyone that believes. And when we're placed into Christ, we're given a new identity. We're made new creatures in Him. We're made a part of a new creation that God is forming, the one new man called the body of Christ. And as a part of the body of Christ, we're given God's righteousness. We're given the righteousness of God by being placed in to Christ. We have His righteousness. I have a new identity. My identity is being a member of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in Him. And as a member of His body, I am righteous. I don't have to try to be righteous. I don't have to try to attain righteousness. I am righteous. That's who I am in Christ as a believer. Now, this righteousness that God has given me in Christ, when I understand who I am in Him, then the fruits of who I am, the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, it's His life being lived through me, the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the praise and glory of God. You see, if you want God's glory to be had in the details of your life, it won't be had by you striving and pushing and seeking to attain. That's legalism. That's religious legalism. It won't be had that way because you fail. You can't do it. The way it'll be had is by it being the fruits of God's righteousness, the fruits of the new identity that God has given you in His Son. And this complete, total righteousness, this complete, unconditional acceptance that God has given you in Christ. When that bears its fruits, when it produces the results it's designed to produce in your life, then you have the glory of God accomplished in your life because it's Jesus Christ living through us. Now, all of that's accomplished as we get into the Word of God and study the Bible. That's the reason we keep going over and over the issue of rightly dividing the Word of truth. Because if you want that prophet that God has put in His Word for you to come out, you need to be able to understand the Bible the way God designed it to be understood. Now, when you study right division, we've been over this time and again now. I even left the chart up here from last time just so that can remind you of the fact that this is something we've been going over and over. The basic division in your Bible that you have to understand is the division between what Paul calls time past, Ephesians chapter 2, time past, and what he calls but now. And that division, that distinction, the movement between the but now and the time past, and you understand there's a difference, the changeover between time past and the but now comes in your Bible with the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The salvation and commissioning of Saul of Tarsus as Paul the Apostle is a dispensational boundary of tremendous significance. And that change takes place between time past and but now with the raising up of Paul the Apostle. Saul of Tarsus is saved and commissioned as Paul the Apostle, and that's when the change from time past to but now takes place. For example, in Romans chapter 15, verse number 8, we're told, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision." Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry back here was a minister of the nation Israel in time past. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John focus on the earthly ministry of Christ to the nation Israel. Peter and the apostles that are ordained by Christ and sent out in the early Acts. Galatians 2:8 says that Peter is the apostle of the circumcision. So they have the ministry to Israel back here. But verse number 16, Paul says, Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You see, just as Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry was a minister to Israel, just like the Apostle Peter in his earthly ministry was Israel's apostle, so the Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Romans 11:13, Paul says, "I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles." The Apostle Paul is the minister of Jesus Christ, not in his earthly ministry, but in his heavenly glorified ministry, the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, that the gospel might go to the Gentiles from the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Ephesians chapter 3 identifies this for you. Ephesians 3 verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me to youward, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Jesus Christ made known by revelation to Paul this secret information that has to do with the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to Paul to send to us. The Apostle Paul is the initiator of the grace of God to the Gentiles in the Word of God. If you want to go get God's grace for the dispensation of grace, Paul is the initiator of that information. It's through Paul's ministry that Jesus Christ reveals this secret purpose that he had. Just like in the nation Israel, Moses in time past was the great lawgiver to the nation Israel, the Apostle Paul is the great grace revealer to the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of grace. And the message that he delivered is found in Romans through Philemon in your Bible. And that's the doctrine that God has for us today. That's why it says in verse 5, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men." This mystery was not previously revealed as it is now made known. Now it's revealed through Paul's epistles. That's why we say to you that in Paul's epistles alone is found the doctrine, the position, the walk, and the destiny of the body of Christ. Because it was a secret not previously revealed, but now made known in its fullness. Now that distinction about what God's doing today and what He's doing today, verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. He's forming a spiritual body of believers called the church, the body of Christ. And in that body there are only Gentiles. Now, don't get all excited, because that doesn't mean a Jew can't get saved. In fact, in our local church, the church I pastor, we have several Jewish believers, people of Jewish or Jewish ethnic origin, who are believers and are saved. So we understand they get saved, but the way they get saved is by recognizing that they have been cut off from the position of blessing up here and placed in the position that the cut off nations have been in. They come to God like any other Gentile, any other member of the nations do. No special status, no special nation, no special religion, no special access. Just come as poor lost sinners and trust the Savior of sinners. There's never been a day like our day, folks. All you need to come to God today is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. What a wonderful day the dispensation of God's matchless, marvelous grace is. And that information is revealed to us now through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. That distinction is critical so that you can understand what it is God's doing today. We began last week to show you some contrast between the message back over here and the message over here. And I want to continue that today so that you can understand that there is a distinction between the messages in these two programs, and that our program and message focuses here. And when you get your doctrine out of here, you'll have stability, a sound foundation to stand on. But when you try to go back over here in the four Gospels or the Acts period and try to build your doctrine, build your life on the principles and the teachings back there, you're going to bring confusion and frustration to your Christian life, because you can't make God do something He isn't doing, and neither can I. What we need to do is recognize what He is doing and rejoice in that being operative in our life. Get Luke chapter 12 in one hand, if you will. Luke chapter number 12, let's look at some passages. Luke chapter 12, now here's a doozy. Here's a real favorite passage. Get Luke 12 in one hand. And 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Luke 12 in one hand, and then Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Luke chapter 12. And 2 Thessalonians 3. And maybe get 1 Timothy chapter 5. Maybe get several passages here. Luke chapter 12, a passage that often is quoted when dedication times come. You know, preachers preach dedication. You need to dedicate your life, and then you need to rededicate your life and do all these things. And frankly, none of that has a whole lot to do with anything that God's doing. You can dedicate and rededicate and consecrate and participate and all the rest, and it just be you doing. And that's not the issue. I mean, there is a surrender that we make. There is we present our body a living sacrifice, but that's not me going and dedicating myself to do anything where I'm going to make Jesus the Lord of my life and I'm going to promise Him perfect obedience and all that. Surrendering is giving up. And it's so that it's not going to be me living, it's going to be Christ living in me. Now, that's something different. And that presentation is not me doing it. It's me saying, I can't do it. Lord, You have to do it for me. Now, that's the key to the Christian life in service. And yet, you find people going back to a passage like Luke 12 all the time and putting you back under a law program back over here rather than under a grace program over here. Luke 12, verse 33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither doth moth corrupt. How many times have you heard preachers say, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to sell that which you have and follow me. And he says, sell all that you have, sell it out, and give it away to the poor, and don't make any more provisions for time. Get rid of it all. Now, you know what people say. They say, well, that means y'all just dedicate everything you got to Christ. That's what he says. He says, sell everything. Get rid of it. And he tells them in chapter 14 that if you don't forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciples. He's telling that to a bunch of men who are independent businessmen. They're entrepreneurs. They had their own independent business. They were commercial fishermen, for example. And what did they do? They laid down their nets. They left their business enterprises and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They got rid of their assets. They got rid of their commercial fishing equipment. They got rid of all their ability to carry on their enterprise and they followed Christ. They forsook all that they had and followed Him so they could be His disciple. Sell that you have and give alms. Give it away to the poor. Now, you know, there's a passage of Scripture, and that's a very clear statement by Christ back here. But you know good and well that if you try to do that verse on the basis of what it says, well, you know you can't do that, don't you? You know that that verse won't work today. That's the reason nobody practices the Pentecostal program in Acts chapter 2 when they sold their possessions and laid them at the apostles' feet that distribution might be made to the necessity of the saints. You see, when the apostles in Acts 2 obeyed the passage because they knew that they were looking for that kingdom out there and they understood where they were, when they obeyed the passage, they did it exactly. They didn't do it like we fudge on it today. So what's the deal, you know? We had a man in our assembly one time before he came to our assembly. Heard his preacher preach on this, sell all that you have, sell out for Jesus. He took it literally, just like the verse says, went and sold all that he had. Sold his living room furniture, the rug on the floor, sold his refrigerator and his stove. And I mean, he'd have sold the house if he'd owned it. Just sold out all he had and thought God was just going to take care of him somehow and replace it all somehow. I'm not real sure what he thought. He doesn't even know what he thought. And I went around there for a couple of weeks and nothing happened. And they began to, you know, need something to sit on. So his wife went out in the alley and got another couch in and got a piece of thing here and a piece of there. He went to his preacher and he said, "Preacher, what's the matter? I did exactly what you said." And the preacher looked at him and scornfully said, "Well, didn't you have sense enough to know that I didn't mean that?" "Well, what did you mean then?" "Well, some esoteric." But that's what it says, see? You can understand how confusion can come into someone's life when you quote the passage and you say, "But the passage doesn't work, so I have to kind of fudge it." You know why it doesn't work? It doesn't work because there's anything wrong with God or anything wrong with the passage. It doesn't work today because the promise wasn't made to us. It was made to those people back there. And if you go back there and try to quote passages of Scripture and promises and instructions that God didn't give you and try to obey them over here, don't blame God when frustration takes place in your life. And don't be surprised. Now, if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 5, you'll find some instructions that you know a little bit more about. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, Paul says in here, "Even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man will not work, neither should he eat." You know what you better do? You better get a job, you better go to work, and you better work with your hands so you have something to eat. And if you won't do it, if you just sell out and go sit on the stump, Paul said, don't feed him. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "If any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." You know something, folks? You can literally obey Luke 12:33 just the way they did in Acts 2. And if you do it over here, you deny the truth of what God's doing in here and you're worse than an infidel, according to Paul. You see, you can't just be scriptural. You can't just quote the verses. You got to be dispensational or you're going to be out of the will of God quoting verses. Now that's serious. Come with me, another illustration. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6. And Ephesians chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 6. And Ephesians chapter 4. Matthew chapter 6, you have the Our Father prayer, where our Lord teaches His disciples the manner in which they were to pray. Now, of course, we know that this prayer was never intended by Christ to be recited over and over and over again, because He rebukes the people of His day for vain repetitions. Verse 7, He says, "When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Anybody that just repeats a prayer over and over and over and over again, just over and over the same words, according to Christ, is practicing what the heathen practice. So no believer in the Lord Jesus Christ would want to practice what the heathen practice and follow their procedure of just vainly repeating things. So there's a real question, you know, when you read the text about why anybody would do what I did all my early years. I was raised in a church where every Sunday morning we stood up and we recited the Apostles' Creed, and then we recited the Our Father prayer. And it was just vain, empty repetition like the heathen do, but that was part of our religious exercise. But you know, verse 14 of this thing is very interesting. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now you see that conditional forgiveness in that passage? This man back over here, if he wants God the Father to forgive him his trespasses, what's he got to do? He's got to forgive his brother. And if he doesn't forgive his brother, his heavenly Father won't forgive him. You know what that is? That's the law. That's legalism. That's the most basic form of a performance system. The law says, if you do this, then you get the blessing. If you don't do it, then I'm going to curse you. I'll give you the curse, I won't give you the blessing. If you forgive men, then your Father will forgive you. If you don't forgive them, then your Father won't forgive you, and he'll get even with you. He'll hold you accountable for your sin. He's going to get you. Now what that is a conditional system of forgiveness. Absolute, completely conditioned upon you forgiving men in order to... Now would that motivate you to forgive somebody? Sure would. No problem with it motivating you. It's just that it motivates you on the basis of if you want the blessing over here, then you got to perform. That's legalism. That's the law. Now contrast that with Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, how? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God already has forgiven you. In Christ, you are already completely and totally forgiven. Completely, totally, up front, forever, and done instantly the moment you're placed into Jesus Christ. I mean, folks, if you have His righteousness, what sin's ever going to stand in your way? I mean, who is He that's going to condemn you? It's God that justifies. See, that's the thing. God has declared you righteous. Who's going to come along and say, "Oh, look at that sin in your life"? God's already forgiven you. Now, He says, we already have been forgiven. I am a forgiven person. Therefore, I can go and live like a forgiven person, understanding what it is to be unconditionally forgiven, unconditionally loved, unconditionally accepted. I, therefore, can go out and forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, forgave me. I don't have to try to forgive them to get God to give me the forgiveness. I already have the forgiveness and therefore can go share it with somebody else. You know, it's the most difficult thing you'll ever try to do, to try to love someone unconditionally and forgive them unconditionally and accept them unconditionally if you don't know what it is to be loved unconditionally and forgiven unconditionally and accepted unconditionally yourself. If you've never experienced it, how are you going to know how to give it? You see all the world out there, and you see the talk shows, and you read the commentaries about the strife and the turmoil in our world, and people say, well, we need to communicate. What we need to do is love each other. Oh, can't we just learn to get along? But folks, if you've never been, I mean, we're talking about unconditionally accepted. If you've just never been accepted with all of your faults and your frailties, how are you going to know how to accept somebody else? You aren't going to. If you don't know what it is for God to accept you, for example. You see, the way you understand your relationship with Him is the way you're going to relate to other people. Now, over here, we have it in Christ freely. He says, I don't write your sins down. I don't hold them against you. You're forgiven. Therefore, go and forgive. Go be who you are in Christ. Just go live like who I've already made you. Now, that's two different systems. Let me tell you something. That one won't work in your life. That one will bring frustration in your life. This one will bring freedom. You know what that does? This allows you to have a completely different viewpoint. Over here, in Matthew 6, if somebody offends me, now I got to forgive them. And boy, if I don't forgive them, God isn't going to forgive me. I'm going to forgive you. I wonder if I did it enough. Did I do it right? And you're always wondering. Over here, someone offends you, and you look at them and you say, you know, God loves me and has already unconditionally accepted and forgiven me. Here's somebody who's offended me. God says that I can forgive them the same way He forgave me. And you know something? That's a blessing for me to do that. Now this person, before they offended me, I couldn't forgive them because I can't forgive something that hasn't happened. But now they've offended me, and that offense gives me the privilege of doing something I couldn't do before. And you see, all of a sudden, you're almost glad they offended you, because you have an entirely different attitude about it, because their offense gives you the opportunity to do something that without it you couldn't have done. That is, unconditionally forgive them. Go think like God thinks and act like God acts. You see that? That's grace. That's the difference. And my friend, the Apostle Paul and his epistles, he's the wise master builder who's laid the foundation for us today. Frustration, confusion, and a burden is going to be added to your life by trying to go back into that program. It won't work. But my friend, what God is doing today will work marvelously in your life. The message of God's grace to us in Christ, as revealed through the ministry committed to the Apostle Paul, is the secret. It's the key. It is what the Christian life is, because it's what allows the Lord Jesus Christ to live His life through you, as you rest by faith in the unlimited provisions that He's made for you at Calvary. I hope you've trusted Him and that you know Him and that you desire to get into His Word. We've got a free cassette tape we'd like to give you that'll help you to go on in the study of God's Word. Listen as the announcer comes to give you the address how you can get your free copy. And until we meet again next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, But Now What? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer $199. The Message of Grace is a ministry of the Grace School of the Bible. We're glad that you've been with us today. If our study has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another message of grace.